comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
Hey, gooners and goonettes. It's Ben Carnero of Roadway Report.
And Lucas Riley, also of Roadway Report at this point.
You work for us. Yeah, you work for us. You are us.
I am you, listener.
Good God.
God good?
No, God is not good. God has cursed us all.
God has cursed us all. I have to say, one of the only like car bumper stickers that I really enjoy is the one that says, my other car is a car.
Oh, that's God. So fucking funny.
Oh God, why would a loving God create such suffering?
I drove all week and it was upsetting. Like I was
just with your move?
I was mad when driving. Like, I was like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's against your credo. I'm glad that you made it through. Tell me about your experience driving. What vehicle were you driving?
I was driving a 2014 manual Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, wow. Just getting your stuff moved over?
Yeah, it was a fun car to drive. I mean, it was a nice car. You know, it's like it had no backup camera, and it had it was like the base model. Because in 2014, they definitely had power windows, but it had, like, crank windows. It was fun. It was a fun car to drive. I only killed it once.
Nice. How many people did you kill?
Two or three.
There you go.
Dude, okay. Sad roadway violence story. Last night, I'm biking home from work, and I'm in the creek, and I see, like, 7 baby raccoons. And then this morning, I'm on the lake, and I see one of the baby raccoons has been hit by a car and, like, crushed into the pavement. You couldn't even tell. It looked like a rat. That's how much damage had been done to the baby raccoon.
Mm.
it reminds me of this time I was at the bus stop, and there was... a pregnant possum had been hit by a car, and one of the babies had crawled out of the dead mother. And then, and then as I was waiting for the bus, I saw the baby get hit by a car. And it like exploded right in front of me.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so terrible. It's truly so horrible. That there's nothing I can do but laugh.
Yeah, I mean, you do, in your course of getting around the city outside of a car, you do see so much more of the destruction throughout. Even the, you know, I don't want to say that the life of the baby raccoon is less valuable than the life of a person, because I don't know if that I'm the right person to make that call, but we're all relegated to the same class of person when we're outside of a motor vehicle. And when you're riding your bike or walking down the street, you see it up close. You're just literally physically so much closer to it. I see so many dead squirrels and dead rodents, the occasional, you know, dog or cat. It's like extremely depressing and terrifying knowing that that could be me.
The kids talk about like, Which animal has like an S tier build, at spawn, right? And it appears the best urban creature is like the bird, and then the squirrel, which lives in the canopy and is also somewhat unaffected by car world.
Squirrel get crushed, dude. I see squirrel all the time get dead.
Yeah, but, like, a lot of them live, you know? They live long enough to keep breeding and, like, living in the urban environment, right? They're a part of the urban wildlife.
That's true. They are one of the most well-integrated animals, at least
you know
in
who does
the cities
pretty
that
well?
I've lived.
Subterranean. Bugs? doing okay. You know, they're doing okay.
Bugs are forever.
Yeah. Can't get rid of bugs. You're scared of bugs, right?
Or was it birds?
Was it birds or bugs? I forget which one.
This is a deep cut. This is a deep cut, yeah. So I was always afraid of bugs growing up, and every time Ben and I were meeting someone new, which often happened together, Ben and I spent a lot of time together in our youth, and whenever we would meet someone new, Ben would inevitably share with them early on in our conversation that, oh yeah, Lucas is afraid of birds. And
it's true.
I would angrily respond. That too.
You would respond, what? I'm not afraid of birds. I'm afraid of bugs.
I'm afraid of bugs, you idiot. And then I would close my eyes and I would say, what color are my eyes? And Ben would usually get it wrong.
They're like brown.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Now you know, after decades of friendship, you know.
It took 20 years. It took 15 years.
Yeah, like 15, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. No, man,
Jesus,
I don't know.
Christos.
I'm happy to be moved, but, you know, I really want to... I want to shake things up. Life is getting stale. You know, I really want something interesting to happen.
Yeah. Well, soon all of the listeners are going to share this podcast with their closest friend, and we're going to become media giants. We're going to reinvent masculinity.
We're going to take back the streets.
Indeed.
Truth bombs going straight to the people, straight to the American people. We're flavor blasting truth and freedom straight into your ears. Straight into your brains.
I don't know how much you really like... stay tuned in on like alt-right media, like the gentleman that you are impersonating, but they're really all having a hard time with this iteration of the Epstein stuff. And you know, the Epstein stuff, I don't want to spend too much time. I know it's not really heart of our beat, but like,
no, look, we're a podcast. I feel like we have to touch on it.
Exactly. And I just, it's been so frustrating to me. My take, you know, generally, is that it's been so frustrating to listen this time around and to hear the contradictions, Pam Bondi and the like, just sort of like try to dance around the fact that we know that Trump and Epstein were good buddies, and we've known that he is a predator and a violent misogynist. And so for me, it's a little bit like, okay, why are they trying to make us fixate on this quote-unquote client list when we essentially know and the American people sort of ignored it? It clearly wasn't a big enough deal for them. And it's just...
Yeah, it's like, well, he's either in the list or he's not, you know?
Exactly.
And we know he's in there.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, Q was really like... Q gave people this promise of... And of course, I'm referring, you know, I don't need to sort of prove my scholarship on this topic, but I'm referring to, you know, the phenomenon of Anons and Q as a cultural movement. And it promised the draining of the swamp, and it promised people retribution for, you know, their hatred of elected officials. And they're sort of learning that they were like, right, like that retribution was coming, but it was slightly misplaced because, you know, they're all part of the same club. And Trump is certainly implicated. And so, that's the full extent of my thinking on the topic.
I have no take at all. I haven't read anything about it. I haven't watched anything about it. And I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not real. It's like, if you just turn it off, it didn't happen at all. So many people reach that state with like their media diet where they're like, politics isn't real. I can't do it. And I'm getting there. I think it's called getting old.
It's also, I think, a practical response because these are all distractions, right? Like having us fixate on whether or not our elected leaders are pedophiles and who's the worst pedophile and, you know, all of this bullshit It keeps us from aligning along class lines and working to actually upend the powers that oppress us.
Right, right. It's what keeps the gooners from taking back the streets.
Indeed, exactly. Yeah. It's like I don't. Have you seen the Superman movie yet?
Wait, there's a new Superman film?
Yeah, there's a new Superman movie, and people are saying that it's pro-Palestine and things like that. I think it stops.
How the fuck is it going to be pro-Palestine?
Well, Superman essentially intervenes. I don't want to, spoil it for the listener who hasn't seen the movie.
He intervenes in the Palestinian conflict? He intervenes?
It's a pretty clear analogy. The central conflict is a pretty clear analogy for Israel's invasion of Gaza. And there is an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos, character, which is Lex Luthor, who, again, I don't want to spoil the movie for listeners, who is involved. And there's a discussion of splitting the land and who's going to use it.
Two-state solution.
Trump resort solution, they're in a moment of fallout. They're in their living room, and outside their window in the city, there's this incredible fight. It is this massive thing that is a spectacle to look at. It's very troubling, but it's not really what we should be paying attention to, because there are millions of people starving. And again, I don't know what we're going to do about it, but you should watch the superhero movie.
No, I mean, it's sometimes it's fun to clown on the JCPenney commercial, adding a light-skinned black person to the casting call, right? And then calling it a day with diversity. But it's representation really sort of shapes it frames our worldview. And that applies to representation of people, or ideology in media. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. God. Waiter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Waiter. My train of thought. Waiter, tell me about your boy pussy.
Mine or the house's?
The house. But you've got me interested.
The house pussy is the juiciest on the block.
How juicy is your pussy, waiter?
About 13 minutes into this recording, we finally got to what we're really, really, what this podcast is about.
No, I mean, I didn't have a lot of transportation content. I definitely wanted to bring up the raccoon that I saw get hit by a car. I don't know. We pushed some updates to the website, but none of them are super important.
I have a couple of things. I've been reading a lot, which has been good. I read a book which I recommend to the listener if they're interested in transportation and housing and the intersection of capitalism with problems that we have in our housing system. It's a Marxist feminist book by a writer called Alva Gottby. It's called Feeling at Home. It's fresh off the presses, and it's a really good take. It frames the housing problem as a fundamentally capitalist issue, and it frames one of those central one of the central issues being that capitalism purposefully relegates a certain class of people to what in Marxist methodology is called surplus, right? So these are the homeless people you see outside, the disenfranchised, the people who are not participating in systems of capitalist reproduction. And she has some really thought-provoking things to say about how that functions to keep the system operational. It's really through the lens of the UK and the history of council housing in the UK. And she calls for the development of a new kind of public housing and encourages us to be creative. She frames housing as a fundamentally feminist issue. It's a really good book. I recommend it, and I think that it's always good to read things that challenge kind of the status quo of understanding. She has a lot of critique of Jane Jacobs in it. She challenges the idea that eyeballs on sidewalks is enough to keep the city safe. She, you know, implies that strangers won't take care of each other on the sidewalk, that you really need to be integrated with a community in order to protect one another. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. If someone gets mugged in front of me, I'm getting the fuck out of there. I don't know about you, but you're on your own, lady.
Oh, my God.
Did I ever tell you about the time there was a wacko on the 7 train, and a guy kind of like waddled up to my girlfriend and me on his knees and started asking us like weird questions, and I sort of just stepped behind her.
Yes, I have heard this story.
She never lets me live that one down.
Very, very fair.
Yeah.
You're a provider, son.
Yeah, you gotta look alive, you know? You're responsible for your own safety when on the train. You gotta look alive. You gotta stab or be stabbed, you know? That's what Republicans think it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do think that it's not as simple as, like, all strangers would protect all strangers versus none. It is, like, situational, obviously, but I do think that it resonated with me because I often call out the cultural aspects of our car-oriented development, right? We discussed that a lot last week. And for me, it goes hand in hand with the disintegration of our communities and the dissembling of our political will by divorcing us from our immediate community. And the thought that strangers wouldn't help strangers is not so salient to me as the idea that you will definitely sooner protect someone that you know than someone that you don't. Like, there's less of a question, right? And you also know in a community that you might have backup if you try to help someone in your community, because you can call out for help. You're not the only person that's going to be this bystander jumping in with who knows what results.
Yeah. Like, I'll take a 3v1 if it means, like, saving a lady, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, also, how big of muscles does the guy have? Is he armed? You know, how armed is he? Depends. It's a situation.
How many arms does he have?
I don't know, but I think I've seen, like, domestic abuse take place in public places, like, 3 times. I've done nothing. I've called the cops a few times, right? But I'm not getting in there. You're not cleaning my clock.
Yeah. And I think one of the real ways that this is often framed is around children. Like, where can children go? And this is another cultural thing, too, that has changed a lot. I think with, like, our parents' generation and, like, early Gen X folks, it's been reactionary for them to be like helicopter parents because the parenting style of their parents was so offhand, and like kids were liable to be running around anywhere late at night. And now kids are more like rigorously controlled. Like, it's not acceptable for children to be alone in public space because of like our culture of fear and our lack of sidewalk space for children to play.
No, I don't know. I can say whatever I want about like feeling safe in cities, but it doesn't really matter because I can leave the house whenever I want and I don't get sexually harassed everywhere I go.
Right.
So my take, I don't really care to give a take on eyes on the street.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just think it intersects so directly with like car infrastructure, and it is a question that we're going to have to answer if the Gooners take the streets back.
The Gooners are taking the streets back, We actually have Fallen Gooner, Giga Chad, slash interesting roadway fatality, public right-of-way fatality incident involving a scooter and apparently no car in Austin just yesterday. So we on our web store, which Google Chrome tells you is like a scam, but it's not. You just have to click ignore, and then you can click through to the web store. Our engineers are working on that one.
We've got an army of engineers working on that problem.
In fact, let me make a note about that right now.
Yeah, I'll follow up with you on that one. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for your patience. There is great merch on the merch store if you are brave enough.
We sell scooters don't kill people. We also sell bikes don't kill people. Lucas, perhaps you can tell your bikes don't kill people story,
yeah,
and
so
then I'll talk about the scooter death.
I was wearing my bikes don't kill people t-shirt. It's black shirt with white text. It just says bikes don't kill people. On the back, there's basically a screen grab of the Roadway Report fatality map. It says it's a map of every traffic death in America, and it says roadway.report. It's a great shirt. I recommend buying it. But I was wearing it at the grocery store, and the clerk was lovely. She was helping me check out, and she said, I like your shirt. And I said, oh, thanks. I had sort of forgotten I was wearing it. I said, oh, thank you. And she said, yeah, I mean, I like it, and you're totally right. And, you know, bikes don't kill people. Cars kill people. Cars are bad. But on my college campus, there was a guy who actually, he gave tours, and he was giving a tour of our college campus, and this biker came flying down the road and collided with him, and he ended up in a coma, and he did die. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, yeah, anything can happen. I guess I could contact the people who make the shirt and we could add an asterisk. And she was like, no. I mean, I like agree with the sentiment, but I just, your shirt made me think of this tragedy that occurred in my community. And I was like, oh my
that
God.
That rocks. Oh my God. Oh my God. Everyone's got to know someone who got hit by a bike. I even said to a girl today on, I was like, bikes don't kill people. So I was like riding my bike through campus and I just needed her to cross. Right.
But yeah.
I'm like, you got to yield. It's like, no, I have to wait for you, but you won't go. So now I've got to stop and lose all my momentum. Every time. No, I mean, so few people. Okay, yes. About one person a year is hit by a bike. And e-bikes are heavier now. They're like 100 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, they're essentially, they're closer to motorcycles than bicycles, I would say, especially if they go faster than
at
like
this point,
30.
Yeah. Have you tried the new Lime scooters?
I haven't. We've gotten them in Denver. I haven't been on one. I mean, I just use my bike to get everywhere.
So it's really heavy. I was trying to move one, like I move a scooter out of the way just to be polite. And it was like, I couldn't lift it. I couldn't just like deadlift it. It was like 100 pounds. So I had to like use the throttle to move it up onto the sidewalk.
Damn. Yeah, that's heavy. Yeah. I mean, even the old legacy models are fairly heavy. I know people in my immediate life that wouldn't ride them just because of how heavy they are and how difficult they are to maneuver when you get to your location. Yeah, it's intense. We did have a couple of fatalities happen in the last week or so here in Denver and Aurora. There was an 18-year-old who was arrested. He was going 121 miles an hour, and two people died, three people were injured, and then a cyclist, unfortunately, was killed at Tejon and I believe 38th Avenue on the west side. It's a notoriously like bad place in the bike network in Denver, and yeah, unfortunately, we lost another person.
No. So we lost a scooterer, and I scoped it out, and I guess according to the Statesman, they found him on the sidewalk, not in the road. So it really does look like he just kind of ate shit and died. Because so this, it was at 22nd and Guadalupe, right outside the church, across the street from the Church of Scientology. But so, yeah, someone was just found at like 2 a.m.
Wow.
So riding a scooter. So like obviously drunk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I mean, maybe not. Like, so the road right there has a ton of potholes, and it's got a pretty high traffic volume. So that's probably why the person was riding on the sidewalk. But yeah, they died. I mean, it's sad because like one of the reports said that they were between 20 and 40. So I think their like face got caved in.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, you can die on a scooter. All right. Just so everybody knows, you can die on a scooter. Scooters don't kill people who aren't on the scooter. So is maybe a better way to put it. Okay, the next iteration of shirts will have "who aren't on the scooter" on the back.
Well, on the tag, it's already sewn in, right? Where it says, "This shirt does not constitute legal advice."
Yeah, man, no, but dude, pour one out for homie because he was doing the right thing by not being a bitch and driving a car, and he just went a little too fast.
Yeah.
So
dang.
You can definitely, yeah, it does appear that wearing a helmet on an e-scooter might be smart. And I'm saying this as someone who rides a lot of e-scooters and never wears a helmet. It may, in fact, be a good idea to wear a helmet on an e-scooter.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're going faster,
if you want to look gay.
15 miles an hour?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I ride my helmet if it's nighttime, if I'm on my bike, or if I'm going a particularly long distance, or if I'm going somewhere that I haven't been before, I will often wear my helmet, because I know that it doesn't diminish the chances that I'm going to get hit by a car, but it does diminish the chances that I'm going to get killed.
I don't know if it does. I just don't. That's what's crazy to me. It's like, would this guy's face have caved in with the helmet on? Maybe not. Like, did the guy break his neck? I don't know, you know? It's hard to study real-world outcomes and stuff like that. You can't do, like, randomized controlled trials, so you've got to do, like, social scientist bullshit, pseudoscience stuff.
You know what, science boy? The gooners say, do whatever you want. Wear a helmet. Don't wear a helmet. Just get out of your car, get outside, and take the streets back.
Take the streets. Don't let the drivers tell you what to do. Don't let the government tell you what to do. You're going to get out there and you're going to ride. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Fuck yeah.
Pretty much.
Fuck yeah. The government can't stop the truth. We're flavor blasting freedom and liberty straight into your dick. Okay.
Basically, yeah, whatever is going to empower you to flavor blast your community, that's what you should do. If your helmet makes you feel more confident, wear it. If wearing the helmet makes you feel lame, don't wear it. Just be yourself. Be in your neighborhood. Do your thing.
We tell people to wear a helmet like it's a practical solution to like being safe out there when you go ride your bike. But it's like really... maybe like slow down might be like more pertinent advice.
Yeah.
If you're like slow down, be cautious, trust no one. I would maybe put all three of those like first. Wear a helmet. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Because it's like I bear some responsibility to tell the truth as like a roadway safety advocate, right? But I just think it's so dumb. And like it's not impactful with a sense of perspective. It's not very impactful, is it? You know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, yeah, it might help a little. Crack me open.
I'm trying to find some good data. It seems
there is none. There is no good data on it.
I mean, how many people in the Netherlands who cycle daily wear helmets? Like, that's what I'm looking
0%.
For.
0%. It's basically, it's like, yeah, that their data point is the one that breaks the correlation. It's like they have 0% helmet use, and they have the safest roads of any. They have the safest cyclists of any country in the world.
Yeah, the injuries per mile are minuscule.
Zero. Don't get hit by a car is the number one traffic safety advice I can give to any individual. And then, like, number two would probably be, like, advocate for safer roadways in your community.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's, like, it's not intuitive. People don't... driving everywhere is just so fucking frustrating that you're like, yes, please, more lanes. Need more lanes. You know, delay. So much delay and congestion. I can't park. Ah!
I can't park. I want to go faster.
I am going to go down to the city council meeting on Monday and make my voice heard about... we have some general obligation funding that is coming through, and the executive committee made recommendations for the transportation piece of that funding. I think it's like $60 million. And they are not going to invest anything in bike infrastructure of that $60 million. And it's rough. There's some really clear places where that money could be used. And it was such a minuscule piece of the money. But they're doing these non-essential repairs on this huge overpass, car overpass coming out of the city at like 8th Avenue and 6th Avenues. And like, yeah, eventually that probably will need to be done. But it's not so urgent that it's killing people. Whereas our incomplete bike network is literally killing people every single, just about week. So I'm going to go make my voice heard about that, you know, do what I can.
Yeah. It's like Scooter Homie is dead. And I don't know. I just don't, in a world where there's a bike lane on that street, right, or where the sidewalk is wide enough to sustain micromobility traffic. It's like the guy wasn't in this. The guy was on the sidewalk because the street isn't safe.
Right.
And he's dead because he was on the sidewalk. You can blame him all you want for drinking and scooting, but you're a fucking pussy who doesn't know how to have fun. Like, seriously. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I want to live in a world where we have fun and we go out and do stuff. Like,
exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And when we get to that point in our neighborhoods and in our cities, I think, like, then we can split hairs and figure out whether it makes more sense for people to wear helmets or not wear helmets or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, it's the same thing, really, around, like, this, like, I always get frustrated when, you know, I see a Department of Transportation advertisement that's like, look both ways while you're driving. Make sure you're looking out for people. Don't drive distracted. Because it's like, yeah, that's fine. That will diminish... maybe some death, maybe fewer people will die if everyone will get off their phones, but people will continue to die, and we mollify ourselves, or we are mollified by these initiatives that diminish death a little bit instead of undermining and dismantling the underlying issue, which is car dependence and the worship of the motor vehicle above the human life. Yeah, no, I mean, and to resist a system that values the development of capital and economic development over human life, coming back to the book that I was mentioning, the Alva Gottbe book, she suggests that it's possible that maybe we could center or at least include the home as the place around which we organize. In the 20th century, mid-20th century, all of the victories... most of the victories that were achieved by organizers and labor and the working class were centered around the workplace. But what if we centered our political identity around housing and around being in the renting class. I think there's something to be said also about centering our political struggle around transportation. And I just wonder what could be achieved if we did that. Could we get closer to the Gooners taking back the streets if we could align ourselves instead of around the workplace? Because things have changed a lot. The workplace has changed so much. The work that needs to be done is changed from the 20th century. And obviously we need labor reforms. I stand for that and think that it's an important organizing space, but so also is housing and transportation. And it's only when we can resist, I think, from all of these angles that we'll be able to fight against the system that prioritizes economic development over human life.
Brilliantly said, comrade. That was a banger of a little...
Basically, yeah, what I'm saying is we all have to hold hands and
block the street. We need to block the fucking street.
We need to block the roads. We need to block the roads.
Block the roads.
We need to block trade routes. We need to block the shipping ports, international trade.
We need to ensure that anyone who's trying to be evicted, we support them and help them squat.
It's not enough for Samsung to have a float at the gay pride parade anymore, is what we're trying to say.
That was enough for a little while, but it ran out of steam.
And there, I'm glad there's a black guy in the JCPenney commercial. But we're going to have to do a little better, and the Gooners are going to have to take back the streets.
Hell yeah.
I was in the streets today. I was taking them back. Whenever someone comes up behind me, I'm on my bike now. I'm just going like, murder me! Murder me! Do it! Do it! Oh, my God. I'm definitely losing my mind. But that's okay. That's why we podcast, you know?
Yeah.
That's why we let it out.
Yeah, exactly. I've been biking a lot. I played pickleball for the first time last week. I biked out to my buddy's place, and he has pickleball courts near his house. And we did some pickleballing. And yeah, I probably got 150 miles last week on my bike. Explored some new...
Damn, son!
Explored some new areas. And I was very tired at the end of the week. I've definitely lost weight this summer. I'm in good shape. I'm like a month without alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah.
Muslim Lucas.
Yeah. I'm still eating pork, but inshallah I ride.
Yeah, bro. Inshallah we may overcome and take back the streets. Oh, it's Ramadan too. If you were Muslim, you'd be fasting.
It's not Ramadan. Is it?
No, it's not.
I was gonna say that is not this time of year.
shows you how Muslim I am. I ate pork every day this week.
Wow.
Hey, it's the other white meat.
Indeed. Yeah, I am going to be doing some traveling in the coming weeks. I'm going to be in rural New Mexico. I will be in the city of Chicago, which I'm really excited for. I'll be in the city of Miami. I'll be in the city of Los Angeles in October. So I should have some good takes from the street.
No, that's good. Those are all good cities.
Yeah.
To opine about.
Indeed. So I'm excited for that.
Chicago is definitely an S-tier city. It may be the best city in America.
Yeah. It could be. I need get time on a bike. I'm staying with some friends, and I'm gonna try to borrow one of their bikes while I'm there, because I've never really biked around Chicago. I've ridden a lot of public transit and walked around the city a lot, but it does seem like an intense place to cycle. Denver, so often, like, you can find long stretches where you're pretty much alone, even during like high traffic time with the way the road system is. Chicago seems like so full of people all the time. I mean, the neighborhood that I'll be in, I'll be up, you know, kind of Andersonville, Edgewater area.
Yeah.
It's like three times as dense as my neighborhood in Denver. And a lot of people do still drive. And so I know it'll be a little bit more congested and difficult, but I want to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's how I felt in New York. It was like, I'm so accustomed to these low volume traffic streets in Austin. It's like no one ever, there's just so many streets and they're all so big, and it's you know, on the back roads, it's like there's just nothing going on at all. You'll see one car every 10 minutes. So I don't know. When I was in New York, even though maybe those streets were like thinner and then maybe on paper, like more safe, just felt way sketchier. Just really, yeah, you much less comfortable.
Yeah, you encounter so many more conflicts. There's a lot more processing that your brain has to do, decisions to make.
Big time, big time. Okay, I just wanted to touch on a little bit of rhetoric used by KVIEW, a Disney subsidiary based here in Austin.
That's the headline, like the local news.
This is such a fucking bullshit headline. Whoever wrote this headline should fucking kill themselves. Austin eliminates 2,000 scooters, making it easier for medics to do their job. 6 months ago, the city of Austin made changes to its micromobility program, including getting rid of thousands of scooters and lowering speed limits. Austin, Texas. It's been 6 months since the city of Austin made changes to its micromobility program, taking thousands of scooters off the streets and changing the way they operate. Since then, city leaders said the changes have positively affected downtown. Ever since scooters started popping up downtown, Austin Travis County EMS says its medics have seen dozens of severe head injuries. So it's like, okay, in 7 years, like 50 people have been injured on scooters. Like, yes, people are getting conked and like sometimes they're dying. But most of these trips that are being replaced are car trips, because most trips in Texas are car trips. So the aggregate effect of introducing the scooters is less death and injury, right? But the headline is less scooters makes it easier for medics to do their jobs, right? When in reality, the car world costs us so much fucking money in liability and injury and death.
I mean, and how many of those injuries that are they're treating are related to cars? I mean, even when scooters are involved, like, it's definitely non-zero. So to blame the scooter and to accredit removing scooters with, it's like super oblique too, because I don't know, some medics might enjoy having a faster paced work environment with more injuries, right? Like, it's weird to put it on the medics. I mean, was there like testimony from Reddit, or was there testimony from medics in the article?
The only testimony is from Shannon Coasterer, public information officer with EMS. So it's the PR guy for EMS, Shannon. And she says, she has seen people getting hit by scooter. Sorry, she has seen people on scooters getting hit by cars. That's like the first quote. I'll just fucking read this. This is such a fucking dumb article. I fucking hate this person. Ever since scooters started popping up downtown, EMS says medics have seen dozens of severe head injuries. Okay. You've also seen like hundreds of people. You see like 5 people a day get injured in a car. Anyway, anytime you're on a scooter and you're in the area where there's vehicles, there's lots of risks. People opening doors, people pulling in front of you, people not paying attention, said Shannon Corster, a captain and public information officer with EMS. Corster said while she's on duty, EMS has seen people on scooters getting hit by cars after accidentally riding onto an on-ramp. You think you're just going in the flow of traffic and you end up on, you know, a major thoroughfare. Because of all the incidents and reports of scooters overcrowding the sidewalks, the city decided to make some big cuts to improve safety and accessibility downtown. Some of the changes to the micromobility program included limiting scooter vendors downtown, allowing only Bird and Lime, getting rid of 2,000 scooters citywide, and designating parking areas for scooters. In context, 2,000 is about like 20 to 30% of the total scooters. Since reducing the scooters allowed downtown, transportation department's parking enforcement staff said they've seen less street clutter and received fewer service calls for the scooters. The city also said parking areas have kept scooters out of walkways where they used to frequently block sidewalk access. With cleaned up sidewalks, first responders say it's also been easier to maneuver their stretchers so that they can respond to emergencies faster.
Yeah, I mean, parking zones make sense. Like, keeping scooters out of the way of people trying to wheelchair down the sidewalk, like, I support that.
Well,
but
part of the fucking problem is that there's this fucking... The government wants you to think you need to park your scooter on the sidewalk. You gotta park your scooter in the street. Every fucking fat piece of shit in a fucking SUV parks their fucking shitty car on the street. Why can't you park your scooter in the fucking street? Park it like it's a fucking motorcycle. Just park it perpendicular to the fucking curb. I can't fucking believe that the government has us cucked into believing that we're supposed to park our vehicles on the sidewalk. No, I mean,
right.
It really does.
And get
it
in the
really
way
upsets
of,
me.
And get in the way of people trying to get around potentially in wheelchairs where they need the use of the sidewalk, where they already are relegated to a lesser access to the goods and services provided by their city. For me, it's so disingenuous. The article is disingenuous.
So it's fucked up. There's a lot more here, but they say, like, they also speed limited the scooters in entertainment districts. So it's okay, they speed limited it on 6th Street. But a thing about that is 6th Street is like cars go like 40 and you can only go 10. But again, it's like that headline is some bullshit.
It's the headline and, you know, most of the article are disingenuous because it frames the issue around medics. And I think that it's effective rhetoric because when I think of a medic, I have warm feelings. Like, I respect those people for doing a job that is extremely difficult. And no matter what we do in the world, people are still going to get hurt. People are going to get sick. We're going to need EMTs, and I respect them. But if we are serious about making medics' jobs easier, removing scooters is not a solution anywhere near on the magnitude of removing cars.
Right. Here's from later in the article. EMS said in the 6 months since these changes were implemented, there have been 125 scooter incidents, which is slightly up from the 98 in the same 6 months in 2023. EMS said that could be due to several factors, including more people moving to the city and using the scooters. And I mean, that is the hallmark outcome of all this Vision Zero bullshit, all these fucking roadway safety professionals with these stupid fucking certifications that are just they're theater. It's all theater, right? Because all the numbers look like this. It's all like, oh wow, more cyclists are getting hit by cars year over year, more pedestrians are being hit by cars year over year. The problem just gets worse and worse. Pedestrian deaths have risen 100% in the last decade in America, despite every fucking major city introducing some Vision Zero master plan, some kind of pedestrian safety master plan, sidewalk master plan, bicycle master plan. It's all masturbating is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's fucking theater. These people are worthless, and they're killing your families. They're killing your children. You've got to take back the streets. You've got to find the government in their homes. You've got to take it to where they live, and you've got to scare the pants off those little fucking twerps. Kidnap the governor. You've got to find Gretchen Whitmer, and you've got to take her again. The people will take the governor.
Yeah, it's Vision Infinity at the rate that we're going.
I fucking hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really rough.
But so it's like, oh, the government is doing everything they can, and it never works at all. And it's like there's no accountability because they're good with rhetoric, and we just sort of swallow it. But it's all fake. The best we can do is clown them for lying through their teeth.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And we're producing our own rhetoric out here, and hopefully we're getting better at it. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I think it's getting weirder.
I think if we replace every car with a bus and every bus with a train, we'll be okay.
We We got to replace every member of Congress with a member of the Gooner Army. We'll figure out the finance in a bit. Finance pending.
Listener, if you want to pad the pockets of our political aspirations, we are just a few clicks away.
You know what tonight is?
Tonight is...
Oh my god, it's Critical Mass.
Oh my gosh.
July 25th, the rollout at 7 tonight. Okay, sick. Yeah, I'll see you pussies at the Pfluger Bridge.
Nice. That's awesome.
Are you going to go? I mean, are you have plans tonight?
Yeah, we today is the 2-year anniversary of we lost my wife's mother 2 years ago today. So we're having my wife's little brother over and we're going to kick it around the house. It's been a long week too. I'm pretty exhausted and I know my wife is. She's been working at a camp working with littles, passing on invaluable skills of communication and empathy to the littles, which I think has more of an impact than anything. So mad respect, but yeah, I won't be out. There is a vigil ride next week for a gal that died in our community. So I'll probably go to that.
Yeah, man. I mean, people keep dying. I don't know. I should figure out some way for us to pour one out for everybody who dies in, I don't know, maybe like the most major American cities. It's a lot of people. How many fucking?
Yeah, millions.
Yeah, but like just in the U.S. U.S., 20
you're the
people.
Roadway Report guy.
20, I know. Okay, yeah, you're Roadway Report. Yeah, fuck you, okay? I know. 20 pedestrians were killed by a car today, and that's just the ones who were killed. Like another 100 were disabled, and another 1,000 were sort of just like hit, and then they were like, oh God, oh my God. And then they like go about then they go to work.
Yeah, traumatized like, and forced to continue to contribute to capital.
Every fucking day. I'm pretty sure like there's a pedestrian hit and run every single day in Austin, Texas.
It's
the cost of doing business, baby.
The event that I mentioned in Denver where the cyclist died was a hit and run. They fled the scene and the person died.
Look, if I hit, I'm certainly going to run. Okay, listen. You won't be hearing from me. What am I going to do? Render aid? I've rendered harm. Oh, yeah. So you have a hard out in like 4 minutes. Anything you want to the guys with? Anything you want to leave the Gooner Army with?
I think I covered it this week, honestly. I got a lot out in the beginning of the episode. So I feel pretty good about my contribution.
Hey,
got a breakdown of the map software that my company provides, and I have some thoughts about GIS integrations and things like that. So I'm learning. I'm excited to keep working on that. And yeah, just stay safe out there. It's it's possible that someone will you're giving a tour of a college fly by on their bike and put you in a coma and kill you, but it's not very likely. It is fairly likely to get hit by a car out there. So be careful. Continue to advocate. Do the next thing in your neighborhood that will make it safe. Advocate. Talk to your local officials. Take back the streets.
Yeah, if you're gonna drink and scoot, go slow, because if your face hits the pavement, you may cave your skull in. I'm not going to tell you whether or not to wear a helmet. In fact, if you wear one, I do think you'll look gay. But if you're going to drink and scoot, just go slow, okay? Be cautious. Be prudent. Don't get hit by a car. And don't get sent.
If it's like less than 2 miles, just walk.
Fuck that.
You are so anti-walk. Walking through the city is so nice when it's quiet.
Well, it's different. I don't know. There's more going on in your part of town. Walking in Austin can be really bleak.
Mm.
Walking in Austin feels homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just you and the bums and the Texas Suns.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, if you are already, you know, three sheets to the wind, you're having a good night, you're, you know, enjoying yourself, take your time, you know, enjoy the rest of the evening, walk home, just walk home, don't prioritize speed, prioritize your journey, you know, go out in the middle of the street and whip it out and, you know, pee in a circle.
Whip it out in the street, kidnap the governor, comedy podcast.
Yeah, I mean, pull your skirt down, moon the street, take a dump in the middle of the street, and then, you know, go, you know, get your makeup wipes out. Wipe your makeup off while you're walking home. It'll save you time. You'll be in bed sooner. Like, be safe. Prioritize your life because we need you. We need you.
We need you, Gooner. Sergeant Gooner. Private Gooner. We're Private
okay,
Gooner. We
Gooner.
Need you. We need you to be a public Gooner.
Yikes. Again, like, this is a problem that we're going to have to address if the Gooners take back the streets, because it's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, brother. No. We'll do gender next week.
We have solved gender, and we'll report on it next week. Okay, listen.
You guys just wait. Race is going to fuck. Race is going to fuck, okay?
It's a crazy world. So, again, be safe out there, and we will see you next week. Get in touch. I'm at blurbanist@gmail.com. It's the best place to reach me for inquiries about urbanism and transportation. And, yeah, I love you.
Yeah, I love you guys. If y'all want anything out of the death map, if you want more traffic deaths, please feel free to reach out to us, ben@roadway.report. We'd love feature requests. If you see mistakes in the death map, you know, if there's a death missing that you want to let us know about, if you killed someone with your car in the 80s and you want us to put it on the map, send us an email. You know,
we can do that. Our team of engineers will hop right to it.
But keep it real. Don't get hit by a car. Driving is for pussies and the weakest, most selfish people in society.
Comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time. Yeah.